idea that exists in the hearts of everyone, to put the resources into the hands of the people, to increase the quality and benefits of their life. Let's remove the middleman. Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Dark City Compassion Club awaits you. It's your radio.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Dark City Radio. I'm your host for the evening, along with our panel. I'm Sarah, and the panel tonight is Teresa Nelson, Leslie Reynolds, Martin Foran. There's Helen, Fabrice, Paul in Manchester, Paul in Spain, and Sergeant Daniel Brad is there as well. And we're actually got the same amount of men as we have women this week. The men have trying to make up for last week to try and balance out the numbers. So they've come out in force this week. So it's always good. It's good to have a balance. And I'm really enjoying having loads of ladies about. And so the Dark City Compassion Club shows on every Wednesday. The topic is basically cannabis and people involved in the cannabis movement or in cannabis in one way or another, whether they use it as a medicine or camp. All right, Leslie. You're right, darling. Or as we've just been joined by Leslie Reynolds. And, so this is what it's about, really. We've got some great guests lined up. But tonight we've got Joe Moss, who I've been really excited about interviewing because I do a lot of work with Joe, actually, with the Normal Women's Alliance. And we also do some work with the Cannabis Quilt. And I've been down and helped with a Bristol event before and some other work. You know, and Joe is a very, very active member of the community, you know, a very well-respected member of the cannabis community. And he's been about for a little while, not too long because she's not that old, but she's been around for a while. And she's made a really good impression and she's done so much and achieved so much and got so many people working together. And I actually first met Joe at an event in Bristol where she works with Bristol Cannabis Club, but she'll tell you all about this as the show goes on. But she works at Bristol Cannabis Club and she organised an amazing Cannabis Education Day. And I spoke at this event along with a lot of other people. And next week's guest was also spoke at this event, and that's where I met next week's guest. And I'll tell you who he is at the end of the show. And I'm super excited about him coming on, and I'm sure all the ladies will go mad and they'll all probably be back on the panel to interview him. Anyway, Joe, so how are you doing today? Joe, you good?
Hi, Sarah. I'm really good, thank you.
Brilliant. It's good to have you on. I always get people to just explain how they got into cannabis in the first place. So do you want to do that for us, please, let everyone know?
Yeah. I had my first spliff when I was about 15. And I also got drunk at the same time. I didn't really enjoy the alcohol experience, but quite enjoyed the cannabis one and kind of stayed with it. When I got older, I couldn't understand what the fuss was about and why it was illegal. And then I started being active.
When did you discover its medicinal value? Because I know a lot of people discover cannabis recreationally and then discover that it actually has health benefits and it does help them. Was that the case with you?
It is. I mean, I guess in hindsight, I realised its medicinal benefits years ago, as it's like in its stress relieving qualities and its ability, well, some cannabis to help you drift off to sleep nicely and those kinds of things. But I didn't really sort of think of it as medicine. It's just like, oh, having a spliff helps me go to sleep or, you know, chills me out. I've raised five children. So it's, you know, something that after an end of a long day with loads of children around, it was quite nice to just unwind with, you know, some people would have a glass of wine. I chose to have a cannabis joint. But on the medical side of things, really, it was 2008, I was diagnosed with a quite horrible condition called complex regional pain syndrome. It's hard to explain. Even if you look on the NHS site, they say they don't really know what causes it. They don't really know what it is. But my immune system attacks injuries on my body, so or any operation sites, causes an extortionate amount of pain that's just completely disproportionate to the injury, and there's nothing really treats it apart from, as I found, cannabis. But it was my doctor who suggested that I looked at medical cannabis.
okay, great. What, your actual doctor, your GP, was that?
My own GP, yes.
Did they approach you first?
Well, I'd already been quite honest about using it recreationally because I was always interested. I come from a healthcare background. I was quite interested, you know, in what any if there were any long term side effects. And I thought, well, the only way, you know, if I let them know, I was when I was pregnant with my fourth child, they asked if I smoke cannabis, and I said, well, yes, I do. And you know, they didn't say don't. She said, you know, if that's what you do, then don't, you know, don't go, just cut down. She's, you know. It was from then on. So for the last 22 years, it's been on my medical records as well.
That's great, because a lot of people are too scared, but it's a good way of educating your doctor, isn't it, and showing him the benefits or her the benefits of cannabis. You know, when you go there with a condition and then you actually let them know how cannabis helps you and your condition, it's a good way of getting that education and communication between your doctors. And sometimes it can take a little bit more of an effort than other times to actually talk to your doctor, but to have an open and honest relationship is always what you need and want with your doctors. And I know it does take some people a lot longer than what it did take Joe, so you've actually found a really good one, and that's really good. So in what way does cannabis help your condition? Because I've never heard of this condition until I met you, to be honest. So how does it actually help?
I'd never heard of it either. I mean, it causes, I find products with more CBD and help the inflammation side of things. But I tend to not so much smoke it these days. I make it into tinctures, or I make oil, I make capsules, I make balms. Topical balms have been very effective for helping reduce when I'm starting to get my limb, because my foot is affected and my left shoulder. When I start to go into a bit of a flare-up, if I become stressed with my, if my other health becomes stressed, I get a virus or something, the CRPS will flare up. And I find that by putting loads of balm on, especially in those times, it helps it to go away quite quickly, whereas I might have been struggling for weeks beforehand. Now it's like days, or sometimes not even a day. It's almost miraculous for me.
Wow. Well, it's amazing, isn't it, this plant? It just never ceases to amaze me when I hear people's stories and testimonials of how it actually does help. And of all these strange illnesses, I am calling yours strange because I've never heard of it, but all these illnesses that I've never heard of before and people use it, and it's amazing. It really is amazing. So is that the reason why you are so passionate? Because you are a very passionate activist. You're one of the most active activists I know. You are. You say you're going to do something and then you do it. Most people say they're going to do something and then they don't do it. So you're a rarity.
I'm motivated. I'm motivated in anything that I'm interested in. I'm motivated to try and see it through. But this more so because my condition, the nickname for it is the suicide disease, because it causes people that much pain and that much distress that they just don't want to carry on living. I had lost most of the use of the left-hand side of my body. And I just got to the point where I didn't want to go on anymore either. And I told my doctor this, and this is when the medical cannabis discussion took place. And also the fact my liver, and when you're taking a lot of prescribed medication, they regularly check your liver and kidney function, and mine was starting to deteriorate. So I didn't really have any option. Medical cannabis, or, you know, cannabis as medicine, was my only route. So, you know, I had to like look into, you know, all the ins and outs of it. And it is, as I said before, it's not, yes, it did save my life.
Yeah.
So that is why I'm so passionate about it. It's been a long time before I could actually talk about my story, because for a long time it's very hard to say, well, I got to the point where I didn't want to live anymore. I've got five children. I love them. But, you know, sorry, it was quite hard, you know, to think, well, I can't live in this amount of pain. I have to do something about it. And I can't live in a wheelchair. I can't live where I can't wash my own hair. I had two people come in and help me do my personal care. People who know me now can't believe it, because I am so active and I try and just do everything. I am super independent, but that's because I've been completely dependent. It goes both ways. Oh, and now I want to help people become independent.
How did it help with your depression? Because you're saying you got depressed. So how did cannabis affect that aspect?
Once I'd sorted out which strains were good for depression, because some cannabis makes you feel quite, you know, sort of quite couch locky, you know, indica strains make you just want to sleep and curl up. When I found out about lemon strains and things, I was able, I've suffered with clinical depression since I was 19, but since finding out the things that would help with that, because it elevates your mood slightly anyway. But as I say, with the indica stuff, I found that was counterproductive for me. It just leaves me just not wanting to do anything. So anything lemony, it just gives you a bit of a lift. A hazy thing is nice, but it just gives you that lift and that motivation. But once you learn to not be depressed kind of thing, I found that it just has a knock-on effect. You just keep going. Does this make any sense?
It certainly does to me, because I suffer from depression, as most people know, because I do go on about it.
I've also went through a couple of years of counselling, and I also did some CBT, cognitive behavioural therapy. That also, it helps massively with pain management and also with depression. So all of these things, together, they're all things that are quite simple to achieve. If the NHS would help, the waiting list for that kind of help is a long time. But if you can get it, it's worth sticking it out to actually get there.
You got a Sativex script, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And I get one. I have to pay. I will just clarify. I have to pay for it. But my doctor does prescribe me Sativex, yes, as a private patient.
Yeah, can you just tell people just briefly how you went about doing that? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people who would be very interested in getting a Sativex script and wouldn't have a clue where to begin. Could you just sort of share how you did it, if that's okay?
For me, it was relatively easy. I just went and sat down and talked to my GP and said, could I ask for I knew that we'd already discussed before that there was no way that I would get one on the NHS, because even NICE guidelines don't even allow it for MS. So even though my illness is similar to MS and I have muscle spasticity, which is how he prescribed it, kind of justified the prescription. It was not treating my CRPS, but treating one of the symptoms that Sativex can be prescribed for. And so I just asked him, and he wrote the prescription, but as a private patient, not as a NHS patient.
So that's the way to go about it, really. If you are wanting one, you're going to have to maybe go and see your doctor and ask for a private prescription.
No, it's not a private prescription. The prescription status doesn't change. It's your status as a patient. Does that make sense? You stop being an NHS patient and you become a private patient, and there's no NHS number on your prescription or anything.
Yeah, I get what you mean, yeah. You are the right, you become private.
You become a private patient.
Yeah, it's a bit like privacy laws in Spain, but for being able to grow cannabis. No, I do like all these private things, where people can get what they need to pull it, well, what medicine they need, really. It's a good system.
The thing is, it is about being honest with your healthcare providers, especially if it doesn't affect you adversely, to be honest about what you're using and how your treatment options. I go and discuss everything that I'm doing with him, because he's intrigued by my progress. So he wants to know what I've been doing to help myself. So, and at the moment I'm trying to, because I still smoke it. I don't smoke it with tobacco. I've not smoked tobacco for years. But I'm now trying to reduce the amount I smoke, because I'm making capsules and taking those every evening. I find that my energy levels are better, and I'm coping really well with it. Pain levels, because I have fibromyalgia and also two types of arthritis, so I've got quite a lot of different pain issues going on that I try to manage. So
when you're managing pain, do you go for THCA or THC?
The raw doesn't seem to help me very much, so I've tried juicing and all that kind of thing, and it just actually gave me a bad stomach. I know that some people get on really well with it, but it didn't suit me very at all.
Yeah, because THCA is really good for pain, and it's also really good for inflammation. And so I've found that it does work really well for a lot of people with pain. So I was just wondering if it worked for you. It's interesting. It is a journey of self-exploration, really, isn't it? That's what you found.
It is. And I've found the pain with CRPS is kind of like MS pain. It's not a real pain, as in caused by an injury. It's caused because there's a malfunction, or within MS, it's to do with myelin sheath damage. But with me, it's similar to that. But with me, my brain will send a pain relief signal to my injured part of my body. Where I've got damage, it sends it back to my brain as a pain signal. So where THC helps is because THC changes how you perceive pain. but when I take it in capsule form, it seems to work more as an anti-inflammatory where everything is inflamed. So trying every approach seems to work well.
Yeah, that's good. It is a self-explanatory, because people ask all the time, what strain's going to work for this, what strain's going to work for that, and the best thing to do is to actually explore and find out what does work best for you and what you like the best, because, you know, people have different mental health, different inflammation, different all sorts of different illnesses. It's all the cannabinoids are going to react differently to different illnesses. So, you know, it is self-explore. Yeah. So I'm losing my words here. It is what you find. It is down to the individual, really, I would say, with a lot of these.
It is, and what might work for me is not, with CRPS and fibro, etc., is not necessarily going to work for the next person. Because it's, and also I find cannabis a bit like I used to do aromatherapy, and we always used to say, if you don't like the smell of something, don't use it, because it's not going to do you any good. And it's the same as if you don't like the smell of a weed, the chances are, I found, especially with myself, it's like, no, it doesn't work, because it's my brain going, yeah, I don't like the smell of this very much. So,
yeah, so it is just, if you, yeah, just go and explore is what the best advice that I can give, really.
And try and work. If you're going to explore, try and work out what it is that you're smoking, or the strains that it came from, or the genetic family that it came from, so that you've got an idea of what actually helps you. But it's quite hard, if you know, in the UK, because it's like, what is it? Oh, weed.
Yeah,
not very helpful.
No, a lot of people don't know what the names are, or they've lost them, or they mix their cuttings up, or, you know, there's all sorts really that goes on with labelling and stuff as well. And we've got a couple of ones from Bob. Come on in, Bob.
They're threes, by the way, just to clarify. They're not ones. I want to know where you're buying your stuff. My God, you want to get up to the north. They've got all sorts up there. They have a real big selection, Joe. You're not weed. Terrible. Where are you shopping? That's my question. Where are you? Obviously, don't tell me who you're shopping with. But, you know, where you're shopping, it's terrible. You should have a full selection. You really should have a full selection.
I don't shop, sir. My garden.
Well, that's wonderful. You should have a nice cigar box, you know, there with several different varieties already. Really. And also, you mentioned about your prescription, private prescription, brilliant. I've been pushing for people to go private. A lot of people are like, what? Private? And I do know that it should be there on the NHS, but often we have to do things to make it work. So brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I've had interactions with private doctors against the NHS where it went the opposite way around. So it's not always the right way to go, but in your case, I've got to agree, definitely.
I went with my GP, who is, you know, he's seen me get better, so he's got, as he says, he's got no reason not to.
And depends on the age, I think, Joe. Older GPs, you kind of, if they're within 10, 15 years of retirement, they'll try and outlive you, in the working sense. I've now got a younger GP who inadvertently sent me back to the same hospital that I'd had, who'd actually discovered that I was being incorrectly medicated, and they sent me for a brain scan. He then wrote on it that I was receiving a cannabinoid in Spain as an alternative treatment, and that no other treatment should be given to me, and my doctor's action should be nil. He was very adamant, very adamant. And I think they are endeavouring, at least some. And my neurologist, of course, who's a consultant, they are going as far as they possibly can, even to the fact that he says, my condition now is brought on through the diagnosis of childhood arthritis. Note, through the diagnosis, getting as close as they can to saying that I've basically been misprescribed for 21 years. So that brings me, at least it brings my head, maybe not everybody else's, around to the prescription again, the NHS. I'd be really happy to fulfil your NHS prescription. If you can get a prescription off your NHS doctor, send it me, Joe. I will fulfil the prescription and bill the NHS. Let's see what happens. you know, what will they actually do? And, you know, I don't expect them to actually pay the bill. It's the government, they often don't. But we can have some real fun finding out, you know. Yeah. Why, if you can't afford to get it and your doctor can't actually prescribe it you because he hasn't got the funding to do it, then why can you not have that medicine? I don't get it. You see, if there was such a thing as refugee status here in Spain, which there isn't, but if there was, then you would be a medical refugee. There's no doubt about it. You've been told this is the correct action for you to take, but because of the political situation, you're not allowed to. Of course, it's not a medical situation. It's not a scientific situation. We don't need any more research. We don't. We don't need any more. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, yeah, I think it's funny, which I like. Because it's funny, and it does actually stand up against that so-called authority. Of course, I don't think anyone outside Westminster, including the people inside Westminster when they're not there, would disagree. Of course, as an individual that's been prescribed cannabis by your doctor, you should be able to have cannabis. Now, I mean, it's ridiculous. Go on, excuse me, I am quite abrupt even when I finish.
Okay, sorry.
So, yeah, I think it'd be a great idea, Joe, or even your private prescription. Is it for Savatex, or does it say, can you get cannabinoid? Do you think you put cannabinoid on it?
I don't know, I'm trying to think, because I've seen several different ways that it's been written. I will find the prescription and have a look. It's not to hand, like...
They probably would put down, the trade name. They'd name it, you know, and tell you.
Well, sometimes it's Sativex or a mucosal. Sometimes it's just so many sprays of so much THC and so much CBD. I can't remember the last time what it actually said, but I'll find it and let you know anyway.
Like I say, mine's just used the word cannabinoid. Okay, so it's only about 2 or 3 months ago they've actually done it. I'll let you have a look at that, no problem. It is actually on the website, cc.cityradio, on the blog. Mm-hmm. I've put it up there. Cannabinoid, it really does open the magical box, doesn't it, really, if you can have cannabinoids. My other last question for you, Joe, if I may, is do you drive a vehicle?
Yes, I do.
Right, so you're exempt from having cannabinoids in your system while you're driving, aren't you, if you were to be pulled up by the police because you've been prescribed it?
According to my GP, it creates a grey area where he has to define my impairment. Does this make sense? They have to, because he's prescribed it for me, he then tells me how much will we just, because... when you titrate your Sativex dose, it's very much patient-led up to what they recommend their minimum, their maximum daily dosage is. But on agreement with your prescriber, how it reads is you can take whatever you need. So I only use it Sativex.
Excuse me, Joe. You're actually saying there that there is no overdose level there.
No, not really. It's as you would agree with your prescriber. Yeah. So that's what it says on the leaflet.
Yeah, it's one of the few things that I think you ever come across within the pharmaceutical industry that actually says, yeah, you know, only take this much. You know, take as much as you want.
There is a recommended level. But you can exceed it if you discuss with your prescriber.
Yeah, so as long as everybody agrees that you can have more, then you can have more, you know. I think it's good to have outside observation when you're taking any form of medication, you know. Really is, especially for people who've never used cannabis, really. You do need somebody around who has got some experience of it.
When used Sativex, it is quite potent if you're not used to cannabis. So I wouldn't recommend driving on it. Not to start with anything.
No, I wouldn't. I would agree with you. With cannabis, with the oils that we use here, definitely, you know, treat it with real respect.
Massive effect.
Tests actually do show people that are actually using cannabis are actually more functional when the drivers and actually have. It's crazy, isn't it? When we actually do look at the real figures. But I don't want to take all your time, Teresa. Joe, because Teresa, I do believe, has got a question for you. But thanks for chatting with me for a minute. I'll try and get back if they don't swallow all the time up.
Okay.
Hi, Joe.
Hello, lovely.
I suffer a lot of stuff that you suffer with. What strain do you think's better for you for pain and also sleeping?
Which, are you talking about fibro or...?
Your mind just gone blank. I suffer a lot of stuff you have, rheumatoid arthritis and stuff. But what strains do you find better for you?
Well, I find with all the inflammatory conditions, I find strains that have CBD or at least some CBD in are useful. But it's not just the strain, it's what I actually do with it that seems to make the difference for me. So if I turn the stuff with CBD in into oil and take it as a capsule mixed with coconut oil, I find it to be far more effective than if I just sit and smoke it. So it's kind of getting the strains, but it's what you actually do with that cannabis once you've got it. So
I mix cannabis oil with the coconut oil, but it's kind of trying to find the right strain. Because obviously things get worse, so I'm finding it hard to find a strain where it's actually helping as much as it should.
Yeah, but it is. I mean, you do need variation. I say that you kind of need a minimum of 5 strains in your life, because if you constantly use the same thing, you do build up a tolerance. That's why when we are helping people to start taking oil, we build them up in small incremental titration doses until they reach their optimum dose, so that they're actually building a tolerance and they're not being wiped out in one go by trying to take a gram a day to start with.
Yeah, so
by changing what you do with your cannabis, you're going to help yourself more effectively.
Yeah, I've been taking it 4 years now, so like I think I need a switch a bit, because it's not really affecting me as good as it should.
No.
But thanks anyway. Thank you.
No, anything with CBD in, I find is useful if you then make it into oil and take it in a capsule.
Yeah, thank you.
Huh? And no worries.
All right, darling. I want to talk a little bit about your campaigning work now. I want to start with Bristol Cannabis Club, because you do a lot of work with Bristol Cannabis Club. Are you one of the founder members of Bristol Cannabis Club?
I wasn't on the page. There was a page running for ages, and then Greg and some of the guys from the UKCSEs asked me if I'd get involved with it, because I live about 30 miles from Bristol, but it's close enough that I could get involved and help get things going. And then a couple of other people came on board, and an admin team was formed, and it went from being a Facebook page to actually having regular meetings.
Yeah, because I've been to one of your events, Picnic in the Park, and it was a really good event. There was a lot of people coming, and so I would say Bristol Cannabis Club is one of the most active cannabis clubs in the UK. I'm not saying it is the most active. How did you get it up and running then, and get people interested and stuff like that?
Well, we were lucky enough to get a venue that to start with didn't mind being advertised publicly, and so we could just organize events and invite people along. And then we did our first party in the park up on the Downs last summer, and we had over 100 people turn up. And then we had a Christmas event where we showed Bud Buddy's Project Storm, and that went down, that was down really well. We had a Christmas party. We raffled off a grow kit then. It was won by a cancer patient, which was really fortuitous. Then we'd organised, the next thing we did was the big education event, which we worked with all the different organisations to get that off the ground. And we had over 100 people turn up to that as well. And through that, we actually ended up helping quite a lot of local families become self-sufficient.
Yes, and that's one of the aims that it does, isn't it?
Is to help people to become independent and to be able to, especially if they've got chronic or terminal illnesses is to become independent. But eventually, we'd like, you know, we are pushing for the to have cannabis clubs as they do in Spain in the UK, because we believe that's, you know, it's one of the better way forward. It's less commercial. There is some commercialization, but it's not as commercial as big business. We think it offers lots of opportunities for people as well to get into employment.
That's exactly the model that we're pushing for at Dark City as well. And Normal Women's Alliance as well, isn't it? We're pushing for the Spanish model because it does, it works so well. We had, if anybody's interested in learning a little bit more about the Spanish model, we did have a Dark City Compassion Club show not all that long ago with Frederick, who's the president of Green Seeds Alicante, and you get a really good look in at how they actually work, and they're amazing. He's had his club running for over a year now. Not one single fight, no trouble whatsoever. You know, all the young lads that were hanging around the local area on the street are now in the clubs, doing useful things, meeting people, and, you know, it's great. So I definitely am going to go for that model. And we do kind of have it going on in the UK underground anyway, really. You know, we've got the UK Cannabis Club, Social Clubs, and that's a good umbrella. And they've done a hell of a lot of work pushing this forward as well for a good few years. So until I do believe that this is the best model for us to follow. I totally agree with you 100% there.
So, yeah, I do. I mean, I do get that there's going to, you know, when we get decriminalisation or there's some change in the law, which there will be, it's just when, there will be commercialisation, and GW Pharmaceuticals will be where they're flying the flags globally for medical for cannabis medicine, because they're already there. They're all the ones applying for the patents, and for those saying that they won't have a monopoly, they've already got one. It's going to be a while before other people are to the same level as that, other organisations are at the same level as them. The only other people I see that are anywhere in doing the same kind of work is in Israel.
So. Yeah, Israel are 8 miles ahead as well with all the work that they've been doing.
Yeah.
I can't remember, the godfather of cannabis is in Israel, and I always forget his name. I know, because I'm dyslexic, I can see it, but I can't say it. But yeah, you should, if you're interested in looking, because you can even get cannabis on the NHS over in Israel. It's been used as part of the medicine, really. I don't think it was ever taken out, really, of Israel, was it? Do you know?
It's not as widespread as people would think. It's only in one or two places it is actually available. But yes, you are right. The stories we see about it being available in accident and emergency and all points, it is available at one place. But it isn't as widespread as we don't like to think. But brilliant, I'm not taking away the research that's been done there, Sarah. Absolutely, absolutely wonderful. And no, I can't remember what he's called. Another point you mentioned about private, there's a trust actually starting to do. That's what these people are doing in the UK now. These groups, these organisations, little associations, they're actually building up a trust amongst themselves and working an operating procedure. It's really important that you have that, become the foundation in the future. The whole idea of a private association is never a control. It has no hierarchy. Although the president, you know, you hear it, he is not the head, he has no greater position or lesser position than anyone else there. It really is like a family. That's how it works. And of course, a good president may remain president for many, many years, because they are a good representative of the people. And the finances that can occur, if there are profits that do occur, then that is returned to the needs of the members, just like a government should actually run. But hey, so yeah, privacy unfortunately doesn't exist in the UK. There is no protection over your personal privacy. So this is maybe something that we need to look at across the board in the UK, most definitely. But hey, Misuse of Drugs Act, what's actually occurring there. I think there may be some changes, and I do have it on very good authority that there will be a total and absolutely decriminalisation across the globe of cannabis on May the 17th, the year 2531.
Where did you get that number from then?
I just made it up. That's what the government have been doing. I thought I'd use a bit of artistic licence. Because I myself have been hearing the story for over 30 years, and I thought we needed to at least put a time limit on this story, because potentially it could go on forever, where good people look at what they think are other good people, and they project their goodness at them and think, surely they will do something soon. And of course, if we look back historically, this never happens, they don't care. They have no ambition to change anything. In fact, completely the contrary. They have many ambitions to stop individuals taking back control for their own well-being. And most definitely, they have no ambitions at all in people starting to live a healthy lifestyle, which is quite available within the cannabis community now. That's what we've been endeavouring to show people, Sarah. Or not actually show people, but prove it and know it ourselves first. Does it exist? Do private associations work? Are they feasible? Does it actually do what it says on the tin? Well, we found one at least, and I'm sure there are others out there which are unknown to us, other groups that are working under that same pretense, and it is going to work. I have no doubt about it. It's all about getting people to stand up and ignore the parapet. What parapet? What are you talking about? What? Put my head over what? Recognise that there is nowhere you can hide. There really isn't, and there's no need to hide. Growing cannabis, consuming cannabis, using cannabis is dangerous, into the fact that it will change the way that you live and how we interact with one another on a basic social level. It will, as I've said before, it will bring back your grandparents, it will bring back your children and your grandchildren, and it will bring back our social way of being, that how it would have been. And it can do this really in a really short space of time. In a sense, I think it's us who are actually holding it back. I know myself, when I first started to use... excuse me, Parisi is putting funny comments in the room. But when I first started to use cannabis medically, and I'm using it like you as well now, Joel, we're using it with a few other bits and pieces added to it. I've been following a dosage that was worked out here in Spain, and then it's been correct and formulated by probably all of you, but at Sarah's hand. She's looked around and now adding a few other magical elements. I'm calling them magical elements because I can't remember what they all are. But they're there. We're not hiding this. It's just I'm too stupid to remember them. So, yeah, and I find exactly the same. I'm using a very small quantity of cannabis internally to what I would use smoking it, and I'm having amazing effects. And we are using what we call our silver-grade oil, which is made from the leaf. We do this purposely, and we don't decarboxylate it. We're keeping the acid in. This is an experiment we're doing with the acid. Of course, we also do the same things with the high THC with the acids removed. Another thing which might interest a few people, especially yourself, Teresa, we found that the same thing, where is the right strain? Which strain? There's so many things we don't know about cannabis, you know, and you can find one that works for you. And then after a few months, you needed to smoke half a ton of it.
The man boggles with all the strains.
Well, what we had an idea, and that's all it was, quite a while ago, and that was to take several good quality strains and mix them together. And then produce an oil and get it tested. And we put that under our little trial here. And lo and behold, it worked. It worked. Now, we'd have to look further on into the future to know we're about to do the same thing again, but this time we're going to do a larger batch in one go, So we hopefully we'll be able to get all the tests back before some of it's consumed. It's quite tricky to do this because there is such a demand. And often if you're making in smaller batches, by the time your tests come back, people have already used it. So to be able to get ourselves a larger quantity of what we're calling the mixed profile, we make it all like that now. But this is exactly the same way we made it last time, which is from the smaller bud and the leaf trim. Now, remember that, because quite a few people have kind of got a bit confused what we've said here on Dark Sea, that we were saying some oils aren't good oils. That's not true. All of it's good. And as Joe said, use it in the right way. It's not just good. It's almost magical. Really is. So, yeah, looking at caps, Joe, and we're learning more about that definitely through, the ladies' instruction. We're a bit thick, us lads, like, you know, we just kind of ram it in the joint. And so, yeah, learning also, that good also stuff.
Or indeed suppositories. For a lot of people, they don't like the
high. I can't go there, my dear. I don't know what it is. I just don't know what it is.
I know.
Shove it in me here, shove it anywhere, but, you know, I like the thing I'm taking in the top and the thing I don't need at the bottom.
Yeah, suppositories are a great way of getting cannabis into your system, especially if you've never really had cannabis before, or if you don't want the high or any of the effects from that. I want to talk a little bit more with you about, about the Normal Women's Alliance, because you're one of the founder members of that, aren't you? Can you tell me how that came about and what we're up to at the moment?
Well, it came about because it was Greg from UKCSE who said to me about it. He said, I was involved with Normal UK. I've been involved with Normal UK since December 2012. And we were chatting one day. And he said, have you seen the Women's Alliance? I said, yeah. He said, have you thought about doing that here? I said, well, I thought there was enough separation as it was, but when we sat and thought about it, at that point there weren't that many women involved with activism at all. It was actually quite quiet. So we decided that we'd launch the Women's Alliance, and that was me, sorry, bad grammar here, Leslie Reynolds, Sarah McCulloch, and myself. Hi, Leslie. And
hi, Joe.
Right. So Leslie and I met at a Normal UK Cant conference a couple of years ago, and we decided to go. And the Normal UK board were very supportive, but the reason it wasn't to separate people off, it was to get witches to encourage women to get involved, and it's worked. So there's a lot more women active in activism, whether they're involved with the Women's Alliance or anything or any of the other organisations. And you know, we get together, we have a good laugh. Put the world to rights, but we also get work done in our, I think, seems to be helping to organise events and actually making things happen. So we're very much behind what happens in Hyde Park, very much what happens in all of the Parliament protests. You know, if the tables are there, if there's this there and there's that there, it's because we've made sure it was there. Those kinds of things that go behind the scenes that people, you know, none of us are really the ones for jumping in front of the cameras or beating on our chests saying how wonderful we are. We just get on and do things. And if we're asked to help with something or speak to somebody, to documentary makers, anybody about things, we're quite happy to go run along things in the background. And, you know, for us to be interviewed, then we will be. But, it's, you know, it wasn't about being high profile. It was about actually getting things done.
Okay, so I know how to get involved, but how would somebody get involved if they want to get involved? What's their best route to become part of the Normal Women's Alliance or Bristol Cannabis Club or Gloucestershire? Because we haven't even touched on Gloucestershire, because that's another one that you run as well. So how would you get involved with any of these?
It's the best way is to actually message the page. I mean, Women's Alliance has a website, so you can website, but it is the best way in the first instance, if you're on social media, is to contact through Facebook, and then somebody will get back in contact with you and tell you how you can get involved. With the local cannabis clubs, if people message us, we will tell you when and where our next meeting is and say, come along and meet us, because there is always the concern when people message a page, you know, are they who they say they are? There's an element of mistrust because of what it, you know, what it is that we're doing, or what it is that people perceive we're doing as a cannabis club. We get lots of messages, people wanting a blim for smoking. But we also get a lot of requests from, you know, from seriously sick people as well. So you have to work out how you deal with things. But we always just suggest that people come along, join our mailing lists and come along and meet us and talk to us in person. And then we take it, you know, then some people decide they don't want to get involved for various reasons. And some people then carry on and get involved and get really stuck in. Especially locally, it's quite good because, yeah, there's more of a, I don't know, a community unity.
If I wanted to set up something like Bristol and a cannabis club, how would I go about it?
How would you go about it? Bristol started with a Facebook page, but they don't all. Some of them are just a group of people who get together and start having local meetings. So there's lots, you know, you can start a Facebook page if you want to appeal to the public, or if you've got, you can do it both ways. Start with a group of friends and start a Facebook page. It doesn't have to be through social media. You know, if you've got a big enough group of local friends, it's easier to do it that way. Because that's more how Bristol, how Gloucester operates.
Yeah, that's a lot easier because then you've got a network of trusted people already, really, haven't you, to start with, rather than just blindly going. But and it is a lot safer that way.
Just a side note for you there, we have an IRC chat room. If people want to kind of experiment what it's all about, if you go to the website, www.darkcityradio.com, right on the first page, there's a big yellow button. It says click here to enter chat. When you first click it, you won't get in. It'll say error, timed out or something. Just click it a couple more times. That's just as it connects to your browser. And you'll end up in a chat room. This kind of interaction is not as public. Certain ones, you can get private rooms set up if you interact with the owners of these things. The one we use is supplied to us by AnonNet. Don't get scared. It means you can be anonymous on there if you choose. Nothing to do with hackers or anonymous. It does scare the pants out of people, so we don't tell everybody. Oh, I just did. Anyway, IRC rooms. Use that one, and you can easily set yourselves little local groups, little local responses. Remember, this is how it all started in the first place, before you had VoIP, before we could talk to one another. IRC was around, internet relay chat. So it's text. And when you put stuff in there, it doesn't belong to the man like it does on Facebook. Facebook is definitely not private. And in a lot of senses, you really are advertising what you're doing publicly. Now, under privacy laws, wherever you go, that would not be accepted. You would have to have a private group set up, which has some form of administration procedure. And often that would require some token payment, even if it was like 10 pence. And you might remember the old working men's clubs or social clubs in the UK. And guests to those clubs would have to make a token payment, often 50p or maybe a pound or something, a small amount, because that's how it kind of works. There has to be some kind of recognition or token that you're actually entering into a private organisation and a private place. Just a few points to bear in mind. I won't waffle any more on that. Oh, it's all gone quiet. Come on. Yeah, you've got 7 minutes.
I'm here. Quiet.
Got 7 minutes left.
I'm still here. Joe, could you give out any contact details for anybody that does want to get in touch with you personally? You know, just some details that you're happy with people to have?
Yes, if you contact me at joe@normalwomen.uk. That is a contact email address. And if people are friends with me on Facebook, feel free to drop me a PM, and I'm always happy to give out my phone number. Does that help?
Yeah, no, that's good. It's just people sometimes want to get hold of people after listening to the radio shows, people in the area or something like that.
Or I can be reached via Bristol Cannabis Club page, Gloucester Cannabis Social Club page, Normal Women page. That's Normal Women, Normal Women's Alliance. No, Normal UK Women's Alliance. It is on Facebook. It's a bit confusing because we changed it from Normal UK Women's Alliance to Normal Women's Alliance UK. So the Facebook page names take a bit more, it's a bit more challenging to get them changed. You have to make an appeal.
All right, I didn't realise you had to make an appeal for that. I know with a Facebook group, you've got to change the name before you reach 250 members. That's why our Dark City Compassion Club group is called Dark City Phoenix Tears. It's because by the time we wanted to change it, we'd had too many members to change it, so we're still...
I didn't want to change it. I think Harry Potter's brilliant.
Harry Potter. Harry Potter.
Phoenix Tears comes from Harry Potter.
I went to Gloucester Cathedral the other day and I spent most of my time looking for characters.
Yes, if you're looking for Phoenix Tears are the tears that resurrect Harry. They actually bring Harry back to life. The tears of the Phoenix.
Well, we haven't actually got very long left, right? So I just want to say thank you, Joe. I've really enjoyed it. Is there anything that you want to say in particular to anybody, or do you feel you've said enough?
I feel I've probably said enough. Thank you very much for having me. I've really enjoyed being on here. I'm happy to come back again if you'll have me sometime.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for helping me on a few occasions when I've needed you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm proud and very honoured to be part of the ladies' admin teams and that. You do a great job.
Oh, you're thank
amazing
you.
Amazing lady.
Oh, thanks.
honestly, all yours.
Hey, take that on the back. That's from a Scouser, and if she didn't mean it, she wouldn't say it.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But it's been I've really enjoyed getting to, you know, working with a group of women who've now become established and quite, you know, it's been quite consistent of late, because before lots of people joined and didn't, you know, people, I don't think, realise what's involved with activism. In fact, you know, it is a commitment and it's time and you don't get paid for it. And it's working with some, as Sarah said earlier, it's quite hard getting people motivated to actually stick to what they say they're going to do. But with the women's group, things happen, which makes it a lot easier. So I'm honoured to work with you guys too. When we had our get together in Liverpool before the club closed, that was, you know, that was a really good weekend, and we need to do things like that again because
that
bonding
was great.
Is important.
That was great, nice.
It was indeed.
Yes, it was.
I'll just say a little bit of something. I said something quite a while ago. I know it's there on the archive, but the war would end when the women stop sending their sons to war. It's not something the men can sort out. And I truly get that. For me, it's you can help so many people, but you can never replace the child. You can't do it.
No, I agree. You can't do it.
You know, so to me, when you ladies stand together and say to the men, no more, it'll end. I think the power is with you now. I'll stand by you. You know, I'm a lesbian trapped in a man's body, so, you know, I'm right with you guys. I really am. I don't think it should be a position that women were ever put into, ever. But unfortunately, they are now. Martin, go on, bro. I'll hold it up.
I'll get your phone number. Joe, it was great listening to you. You're a very brave lady, and you opened up my eyes on some of the things listening to you. Well done, and you keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you. Nice to meet you guys.
I was very, very moved by your story, listening to it here. It's very seldom I keep my mouth shut, as Sarah and Bob will tell you.
Yeah, it's true.
I was very interested in every word you had to say, and I admire you, and you keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Another pat on the back for you, Joe.
Well, it's been great. I've not said very much. Can I just say I'm delighted I've met Jo, and I love working with her, and she really, really inspires me. So, well done, Jo.
Well, thank you. She's going to make me cry. She does this every time.
we all feel the same. You've always been so loving and welcoming. I've been to your home and everything since I've started working with you, and you've given lots of valuable advice, and you're always there. So, you know, thank you, Joe, for being such an important part of the cannabis movement. It would not be the same without you, the movement in the UK. And right, I've got to put this in quickly. Our guest for next week is Chico Ryder. Oh, I'm so excited. He's 13 years old. Well, I think he's probably 14 now. I don't know his exact age. But he's got his cancer's in total remission now. He's been cancer-free for, I think it's about 3 years. Is it 3 years? Does anyone know the total facts? I can't remember all the facts now. But
sorry.
Go on, Joe.
No, I can't remember. I'm back my brain.
But it's going to be a brilliant show. It's going to be live from his school in California. Can you believe that, guys? We're going to be doing the Compassion Club next week from a school about cannabis. It is just amazing.
Don't talk radio.
I think we do need to mention there, Sarah, that we did apply for another male to represent the male on the panel, and Chico. Hey, who else could we add? So they will be malely dominated next week with Chico. Remember that, ladies? You know, you've got to take a back seat.
His mum will be there as well, so I think...
Oh, no, come on, that's not fair. You know, it's not a tag team. We want Chico!
Well, thank you, everybody, because we've got another show coming up in a minute anyway. So thank you very much, Joe, and thank you, everybody, all the members of the panel, and thank you, everybody, for listening and tuning in again. And I'm sure you are all excited, just like me, for next week to have our youngest ever guest on the cannabis show, Chico Ryder. So I'm really, really excited about that. And he says he's not going to stop campaigning until every single child in the world has access to cannabis when they're not well. And what a statement that is to hear from that young man's mouth. And he is one of my heroes, without a doubt. And I've told him, so that's good.
And his dad made pretty good music as well. Good night, everyone. Thanks, ladies, and the lads who haven't got wordy.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Yes. Sarah. Bye.
I'll phone you tomorrow, Sarah.
An idea that exists in the hearts of everyone. To put the resources into the hands of the people. To increase the quality and benefits of their life. Let's remove the middleman. Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Dark City Compassion Club awaits you. It's your radio.